Good morning. The first lesson is found in the book of Acts, chapter 28, beginning with verse 1. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, the goddess Justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook the snake off into the fire, and he suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and showed us generous hospitality for 3 days. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him and, after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him. When this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. They honored us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. After 3 months, we put out to sea in a ship that had wintered in the island. It was an Alexandrian ship with the figurehead of the twin gods Castor and Pollux. We put in at Syracuse and stayed there three days. From there, we set sail and arrived at Rhegium. The next day, the south wind came up, and on the following day, we reached Puteoli. There, we found some brothers and sisters who invited us to spend a week with them, and so we came to Rome. The brothers and sisters there had heard that we were coming, and they traveled as far as the Forum of Appius and the Three Taverns to meet us. At the sight of these people, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. When we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. The word of the Lord. The psalm reading is found in Psalm 31, verses 23 and 24. Please follow the screens. Love the Lord, all his faithful people. The Lord preserves those who are true to him, but the proud he pays back in full. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. The word of the Lord. The second lesson is found in the book of Acts, chapter 28, beginning with verse 17. 3 days later, he called together the local Jewish leaders. When they had assembled, Paul said to them, "My brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. The Jews objected, so I was compelled to make an appeal to Caesar. I certainly did not intend to bring any charge against my own people. For this reason, I have asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain." They replied, "We have not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of our people who have come from there has reported or said anything bad about you. But we want to hear what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect." They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. He witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God, and from the law of Moses and from the prophets, he tried to persuade them about Jesus. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made this final statement. "The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your ancestors when he said through Isaiah the prophet, 'Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
Thanks. The gospel reading is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, beginning with verse 41. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated and let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Lord, give us hope today, Lord Jesus. Show us the process of hope. Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit to have the strength to listen and obey, Lord God. Thank you for everything you promise in Jesus' name. Amen. We are talking about hope this week and next week. So bring people, because people need hope, all right? Come and hear a word of hope, okay? And we're continuing it next week, but they don't need to have this week to get to next week, all right? We're doing promises, and it's really good stuff. Hope is what we've been told. Hope is from what we've been told. Ever since you're a little kid, if you ever hoped for something, it was because of something that you've been told, right? Everything I needed to know, I learned in kindergarten, that whole kind of thing. You know, it's what we've been told, and there's a process of living toward hope. And so the Lord makes all sorts of promises to us, and there's a process to receiving those promises, and if it's from God, we can count on it. You know, Paul, today we finish Acts. 28 chapters, we skipped a couple of chapters, but for the most part, we read the whole book of Acts. And a lot of people told me, you know, hey, I'm really grateful that we did this, because I thought I knew stuff that I didn't, I heard stuff I didn't know. And that's always exciting for me when people hear some scripture that they weren't aware of. But you think about Paul, right? This guy, how many attempts on his life? 14, 15 attempts on his life. He was nearly crushed in riots, nearly torn apart. He was stoned to death and came back, went back into that city in a hurricane, shipwrecked, viper bit, all of this stuff. Why doesn't he slow down? Why doesn't he just stop? Why doesn't he just give up? Because he has hope in what he's been told. That he knows there will be a fulfillment of what he's been told. It's because of the hope of Israel that I'm bound with this chain. And when he talks to those Jews that came to him in Rome, he tells them, look, this is what the book of Moses, the Torah says. This is what the prophets say, right? Jesus is the Messiah, and some of them believed it. They got it. Some of them didn't. But he has to do that process of hope, because he has hope in what he's been told. He's been hope in what Abraham was promised. He has hope that through Abraham, through Jesus Christ, all nations will be blessed. And so he has to just pour this out. There's a process to hope. And we hope for what we've been told. It's a real world secular example of this. I don't usually do those. I just like to stick to the Bible stuff. But this one, I remember this when I was a teenager, and there was a guy named Eugene Lang. You ever hear of Eugene Lang? He was a wealthy multi millionaire, but he started with nothing. Like really nothing. Like he would walk instead of take the bus to save money and then invest it and blah, blah, blah. Well, he was asked to go do the graduation speech at his junior high alma mater in East Harlem. And on the way to the podium, one of the faculty guy that was with him said, you know, about 95% of these kids that you're talking to today won't even graduate from high school. And so when he gets to the podium, he completely changes his speech. He was going to give a speech on the virtues of hard work. But he got up there and he looked at those kids and he started talking about Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech. And he said, everybody needs to have a dream. And I agree with that. Everybody needs to have a dream. But I tell you this, everybody needs hope more than they have a dream. They need a dream. You need hope more than dreams. And he ended up giving them hope. He gave them hope, and here's how he did it. At the end of his speech, he said, I'm making a promise to you today that any one of you, any of you, all of you, if you graduate from high school and get accepted into a four-year college, I'll pay for it. And he had the funds, he had the means. The speech was convincing. The kids believed him. You got to believe the source. If you're going to get a word of hope, you really need to believe the source. They believed him. And over half of those kids from that graduating junior high class, they graduated from high school, they got accepted to four-year universities, colleges, and he paid for them. He paid for it. He did it. More than two-thirds of them graduated from high school. And he actually ended up helping some of those guys get jobs because it was, you know, college isn't for everybody. But they hoped for what they heard, and then they lived toward the hope. You hope for what you hear, and you live toward the hope. There's a process. Mary, the mother of Jesus, who, let's face it, she's the very first disciple as far as I'm concerned, right? I mean, she gave her whole life for Jesus. To have him, to, you know, I could go anyway. But here she is with her cousin Elizabeth, right? Elizabeth has John the Baptist, in her womb. And at the greeting, you just heard it, he leaps for joy. And the Holy Spirit comes upon her. And she starts to prophesy. And she says this in a loud voice. I love this. She says, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And so believing is such an important thing. Blessed is she who believed. She heard the source and she lived toward it. She believed. Believing is not, in the Jewish world, in Hebrew and in the Jewish world, believing is not just a mental exercise. For us, it's reason, and if you believe something, it's all in here. For them, you don't believe it unless you show that you believe it. Does that make sense? You have to show that you believe it in order to prove that you really believe it. It's a matter of trust. And she showed it by giving her whole life. She showed it. And so Elizabeth says, inspired by the Holy Spirit, that there will be a fulfillment of those things which are told her from the Lord because she believed. She lived her life toward that hope. Now, when we hear from God, we can trust the source. True? God cannot lie. His track record is 100% perfect. There are more than 2,500 prophecies in the Bible. And more than 2,000 of those prophecies have already been fulfilled precisely like God said that they would be fulfilled. And the ones that haven't happened yet, we can count on them happening. We can live toward the hope that they will happen exactly like God says they will, because he's never wrong. You with me? Just making sure, like, agree with me here, because you got to trust the source. We have to trust the source. We can have hope in what he says, and if we live our lives toward what he says, then everything he promises, there will be a fulfillment. And so I want to give you hope today by giving you some promises that Jesus has made to us. If he made those promises, it's a done deal, but there's a process. It's like when we have confession and forgiveness at the beginning of worship. God forgives, absolutely, doesn't he? He forgives and he forgets, but what does he ask of us? He wants us to ask for forgiveness. He wants us to repent. If we repent, if we ask for forgiveness, he forgives us and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. That's done. But there's a process. So there's some promises here that you can absolutely hope for. Absolutely, Jesus is going to give you these things. But there's a process, okay, that we live toward the hope, okay? The first promise is life. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And then he always gives us the process. So in Matthew, he gives us the process. This is the ultimate process. In Matthew 16, Jesus says, whoever wants to be my disciple, and life is for his disciples, right, must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me, for my sake, will find it, will save it, will find it. And this is really important. Jesus promises life in him, and then he tells us how to have life and to how to keep hope, okay? And it has something to do with taking up our cross. Now, just to make it clear, right, I don't know how many times I've heard or you've heard that, oh, it's my cross to bear. Oh, I've got this ailment. It's my cross to bear, right? Oh, I got to take care of my mother-in-law. It's my cross to bear, right? My mother, it was never like that. But it's not exactly accurate, is it? Because nobody who took the cross lived. True? No, even Jesus died. Everybody who took up their cross died. And so we die to ourselves. Next week we have baptism. Oh, I can't wait. It's going to be so much fun. But the water reminds us that we have been crucified with Christ. We died with him and we're risen with him. We're not who we used to be. We're somebody else. We're his. And so we belong to him. We love him. We obey him. And so part of, why if God makes promises and they don't happen, why if it doesn't turn out the way I think it should, does hope turn to despair? And a lot of that has to do with our expectations. Jesus says, I'm going to do this. And in my head I go, well, I can see how he's going to do it. I want him to do it this way and this way and this way, and I want to be comfortable, and I don't want anything to ever go wrong, and I want to go from A to Z in 2 steps instead of 26 steps, and, you know, that's how I want it, and those are my expectations, and if it doesn't happen the way I think it should, then hope turns to despair. But when we take up our cross, when we deny ourselves, when we lose our life for his sake, he gives us his life and eliminates any of our need to put expectations on anything that he says, because when he says it, it's perfect. And so it's the fun thing about Paul, looking at Paul, you know. I mean, there were times when he put his expectations on what Jesus told him. And when he did that, there was always a little bit of trouble, sometimes more than a little bit. But he kept going like the Energizer Bunny, because overall, he could put aside his expectations. You know, the whole crew, if remember last week we read chapter 27, they had this hurricane and they were in this storm for 2 weeks. And everyone on board lost hope except for Paul. Why? Because he heard what the Lord told him. He had received revelation from Jesus Christ. And that's the next promise. We get life, and we get love and revelation. That's a promise. Jesus said, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. So we receive love. When we obey Jesus, we're showing him that we love him. If you have kids and they do what you ask them to do the first time without arguing, and they, you know, that's them showing you that they love you, right? Don't you feel loved when they do that? I feel loved when they do that. It's the same thing, right? When we obey him and it shows him that we love him, and our Father, Heavenly Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ goes, oh, I love my kids so much. And he shows himself to us. That's revelation. He gives us revelation. The reason Paul could shake off the viper, the reason Paul could keep having hope in the middle of a hurricane that everybody else lost hope, is because he received revelation and he trusted God and he kept living toward the hope. He just kept living toward the hope. Sometimes hope turns to despair. Hope comes from, I did that. We'll skip that. Keep here repeating myself. Third promise. Okay, here's Paul. He was a friend of God. You know, there's only one other person until you get to Jesus who says to his disciples, y'all are my friends. Abraham's the only person ever called a friend of God. Why was Abraham called a friend of God? Because he loved him, he obeyed him, he lived toward the hope. He was close to God. He talked to him. And God said, this is my friend. He's a friend of God. But Jesus says, we can all be friends of God. Third promise, Jesus gives us friendship and revelation. Don't you tell your friends everything? Like, do you have a best friend you just tell everything to? My mom has a friend that she met when I was 5 years old. My friend Sean we were in kindergarten together. And those two became really good friends. And even today, they talk every day on the phone. And I know that if I say anything to my mom, Diane knows it too. This is because you tell your close friends everything, right? You share everything. You share. And so this is the promise. He promises us friendship and revelation. You are my friends if you do what I command. I hope you see a theme here with the do what I command thing. Process. There's process for hope. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. It's a dynamic change in the relationship to go from servant to friend. But we show him that we love him by obeying his commands. And he goes, you know, they're more than servants. These people, they love me. They love me, and I love them. And now they're my friends, and I'm going to reveal everything to them. When we receive revelation from God, we hope for what we've been told. And then we can live toward that hope. We live toward the hope, right? Jesus makes things known to his friends. Fourth promise that I want to look at today. Now, you all know that I am not a name it and claim it wealth and health prosperity gospel guy. I'm not afraid to talk about uncomfortable things. Okay? But I cannot deny, and I'm very grateful, that Jesus Christ promises rewards in this life and in everlasting life. In this life and the life to come. He promises rewards. He says, truly I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel. What's the gospel? It's the good news. We'll fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions. He doesn't sugarcoat stuff. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. What does that mean, the last first? It's that whole you deny yourself, you take up your cross, you become somebody else. You let yourself die so that Jesus can give you new life in him. And leaving your home, he says, anybody who's left their home for me and the gospel, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be like Abraham and leave Ur of the Chaldeans and travel all the way to Canaan, and that you don't have to leave here and go to, you know, Botswana or Cameroon or Timbuktu. You know, you just walk outside of your door. Leave your home. Just leave your home and go and spread the good news. That's what we've been commanded to do, to go. You know, GC1, we love God. GC2, we the Great Commission. We invite and we spread the good news of Jesus. And he promises that we receive rewards, and there's no denying it because Jesus said it. And there's this process. We hope in the rewards that God promises, but we can't erase the fact that that he commands us to go for him and for the gospel. We can't erase that there will be persecutions. You with me? He promises rewards, but we can't erase the stuff that makes us uncomfortable. It's the whole process. It's his process, so it's perfect. We need to live toward the hope. Shattered dreams come from trusting in ourselves. Hope comes from trusting in Jesus implicitly and completely, and obeying him completely and implicitly. And hope is actually more powerful when things seem hopeless. Did you know that? Right? Can you see that? Hope in the middle of a storm is more powerful than hope on a calm sea. Right? We are people of hope. We are people with the goodness of God. We are a people of promises that have come from God. In this world, do you think this world needs hope right now? And we walk around hopeful? Hopeful people, because we have the promises of God to share. And they think, they must be crazy. Why aren't they as depressed and sad and scared as I am? These nutty Christians, they're walking around with hope. What's wrong with them? On the other hand, I want what they have. I want to be able to have hope in the middle of all this. And we have it because the Lord spoke it, and we live toward that hope. When we live toward that hope, we can shake off anything. We can shake that viper right into the fire. Because if Jesus says it, it is. Paul was driven by the fact that he was going to Rome and he was going to testify before Caesar. And he knew that even a viper biting him wasn't going to stop him. He just shook it off into the fire. That's how we should live. We need to live like that. When we love him, we follow him, we keep his commandments, and when we guard our expectations, we live toward hope. And when we do, things are fulfilled. Mary had that fulfillment, right? Everything Jesus, the Lord God promised to Mary through angel Gabriel, through dreams, everything was fulfilled just like he said. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told from the Lord. It's the same for us. It's the same for us. Mary is special, but so are you. Blessed are we who believe and have hope in all the things which are told us from the Lord. When we love the Lord and give our lives to him and obey him and follow him, there will be a fulfillment of all of those things which are told us from him. So, have hope in what you've been told. Live toward that hope. Love God. Be his friend, lay down your lives, guard your expectations, follow him, obey him, and there will be a fulfillment of all that he has been told to us from the Lord. Can you remember the promises for this week? Life, love, revelation, friendship, reward. Next week, we're going to look at acceptance. How wonderful it is that God accepts us. Most of us feel like we do not deserve. I got a friend who texted me this week in the middle of the night. I just don't feel like I'm worthy. You're chosen. You're chosen. So acceptance, joy, and the infilling and indwelling of the Holy Spirit next week. So bring a friend and just give them some hope. Amen? All right. Let's celebrate communion.